I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, Let us pray. O Lord, send us anywhere in the world that you would have us go. Only go with us. Place upon us any burden that you would have us carry. Only sustain us by thy strength. Forgive what we have been. Correct what we are, and order what we shall become through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A favorite technique for scripture study and consequently sermon preparation for the last 14 or 15 years has been to study the lives and personalities of Bible characters, especially the 12 disciples. So much can be learned regarding modern human behavior from the lives of the Master's men. If you could have known one of his men as an intimate personal friend, perhaps even as a prayer partner, which one would you have chosen? I like Thomas. And this morning's meditation, as we worship together, is partly what I have gleaned about Thomas and studying his personality. And as I've made these studies, I've sought to find out how many times they're mentioned in the Scripture, what the Scripture says, how they lived, what their influence was, what their names mean, and in as much as possible, how they died. Popular proverbial language has dealt unkindly with Thomas because he is commemorated in the phrase, Doubting Thomas. No doubt there is an element of truth in that phrase, but I think that there is also something very like slander in it. Thomas was also called Didymus. Thomas is a Hebrew, and Didymus is the Greek for twin. Ergo his nickname. He is mentioned only 12 times in the New Testament, but his story of complete trust is one of beauty and dignity. And I think that we have done him a disservice by remembering him too frequently in the phrase, a doubting Thomas. Thomas makes three appearances in the Gospel of John. Consider these three with me this morning, please. In the 11th chapter of John's Gospel, there is a story of Jesus having had to flee Judea because he was about to be killed by the Jewish leaders there. And he has just said, as I begin with the 8th verse in that chapter, "Let's go to Judea." But his disciples objected. "Master," they said, "only a few days ago the Jewish leaders in Judea were trying to kill you. Are you going there again?" Jesus replied, "There are 12 hours of daylight every day, and during every hour of it, a man can walk safely and not stumble. Only at night is there danger of a wrong step because of the dark." Then he said, "Our friend Lazarus has gone to sleep, but now I will go and waken him." The disciples, thinking Jesus meant Lazarus was having a good night's rest, said, "That means he is getting better." But Jesus meant Lazarus had died. Then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I wasn't there, for this will give you another opportunity to believe in me. Come, let's go to him." Thomas, nicknamed the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let's go too and die with him." Whatever else it is, I think that the statement of Thomas in John 11:16, "Let's go too and die with him," is an example of a fervid faith, glowing and alert. Thomas's early faith was reckless and fervent. Lazarus had been dead, you remember, for 2 days at this time. Jesus was in danger of being stoned, and Thomas, whom we have been on occasion inclined in our asininity to call a doubter, was ready to go die with him. A second appearance that the man makes is in the 14th chapter, one verse of which was read in the responsive reading. And I'm reading in this second reference the first 6 verses of that chapter, which one military chaplain found during World War II was the most tear-stained, underlined, most often memorized chapter in all the Bible. "Let not your hearts be storm-tossed. Trust God and trust me. There are many homes where my father lives, and I'm going to get them ready for your coming. When they are all ready, I will come back and get you and take you with me. Then you will be where I am. I would tell you plainly if this were not so. And you know how to get where I am going." "No, we don't," Thomas said. "We don't even know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus told him, "I am the way, yes, and the truth, and the life. No one can get to the Father except by means of me." Note the bewilderment of Thomas here. Again, whatever else it is it evidence of a faltering faith? Or did he too look for a political kingdom? Or did he simply misunderstand Jesus' words? Whatever, note the kindness also with which Jesus dealt with Thomas. Tenderly, compassionately, with understanding, with feeling, because he cared. The third appearance that Thomas makes in this gospel is
later in the book, specifically in chapter number 20, after the crucifixion and the resurrection, and after the appearance to the other disciples, at which time Thomas had not been present. And I pick up in the 20th chapter with the 24th verse, because here Thomas is mentioned again. One of the disciples, Thomas, the twin, was not there at the time with the others. So they kept telling him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands and put my fingers into them and place my hand into his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them and greeting them. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger into my hands. Put your hand into my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. My Lord and my God," Thomas said. Then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. But blessed are those who haven't seen me and believe anyway." In this instance, Thomas was in a state of pessimism in this first verse that I read. But the next Sunday night, he rose to the very height of trust, and he hailed Jesus as Lord and God. Thomas wanted to be sure. So very much was at stake. Verse 28, "My Lord and my God" is a lofty conclusion of love and reason. The most profound profession of faith, I think, in all Scripture. My Lord and my God. For me, two outstanding facts emerge from the story of Thomas. One, Jesus blames no man for wanting to be sure. Jesus never says, "You must not have doubts." But rather, he seems to say, "You must never profess a faith until you are willing to become sure." The second fact that emerges in this story is that certainty is most likely to come in the fellowship of believers. Thomas cut himself off from the other disciples. It is said that a purebred animal will seek solitude when hurt in order to suffer alone. If that be true, Thomas was a thoroughbred. No one knows the manner in which all of the 12 disciples came to their end, but there are some interesting traditions. I should like to share one such tradition with you this morning. Understand now that this is a legend. John died of extreme old age in Ephesus. Of some of these things we're sure. Judas Iscariot, after betraying the Lord, hanged himself. Peter, according to the legend, was crucified head downward at his request during the persecution of Nero. Andrew died on an X-shaped cross at Patrae in Achaia, a Greek colony, having been tied to the cross. where he starved to death. James, the younger brother of the Savior, was thrown from a pinnacle of the temple and then beaten to death with a fuller's club. Bartholomew, who was sometimes called Nathanael, was skinned alive in Albanopolis, Armenia. James, the elder son of Zebedee, was beheaded in Jerusalem. Philip was hanged against a pillar at Neropolop, a city of Phrygia in Asia Minor. Matthew was slain by the sword in Ethiopia, or Abyssinia. Thaddeus was shot to death with arrows. Simon died on a cross in Persia, now Iran. Thomas, sometimes called the doubter, was run through with a lance at Coromandel in the East Indies. If we can trust tradition, Thomas had been commissioned to build a palace for the King of India. And there was a witness of his faith, and was being stoned to death, and someone came up with a lance and rammed it through his body. It cost Thomas something to be a witness for his faith. What is it costing us? What would we be willing to pay? May we stand together for a closing prayer. I should like to use one of my favorite selections from Irish literature for our benedictory prayer. May we pray together. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. The rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may the Lord hold you in the hollow of his hand.